Okay, he now cuts of Omer, Hein Yiras Hashem Hichachma. The Ramchal continues, Pasuk in Iyov tells us, Hein Yiras Hashem Hichachma. We can identify Yiras Hashem with Chachma. Very interesting comparison. Omer of Asenu Zechon Baruch Hein Achas. The word Hein, occasionally, is translated as one. I believe based on a Greek etymology, the Gemara suggests that. But Hein Yiras Hashem Hichachma means that Yiras Hashem and Chachma are one, which is kind of surprising, right? Because Chachma, wisdom, we would associate with some sort of discipline, some sort of science, right? Or a body of knowledge. And Yiras Hashem doesn't sound like a body of knowledge. Yiras Hashem sounds like an attitude, sounds like a religious perspective, right? A relationship with Hashem. How do you identify Yiras Hashem and Chachma as the same? So he says there's three things to take out of this comparison. Again, it's a pasuk in Iyov. Pasuk in Iyov. What are those three things? He says, number one, Yira is Chachma. Yira is Chachma. To be someone who fears Hashem is also someone who possesses a certain degree of wisdom. It means you have an understanding of the truth of the world around us. Not only that, he levada Chachma. That is the only form of Chachma. It is the ultimate form of Chachma. Levada means that it is the ultimate form of Chachma. And levada, the only form of Chachma. You have to understand that. And finally, this really brings home the point that he's trying to make. If something is called Chachma, whether it's the only Chachma or it's one of many types of Chachma, Lamaisa, it's not possible to give it a label such as that. And it's not something sheish bo ian. Without it being something that has a depth and something that requires analysis and something that requires work to fully understand and apprehend. And that's the cherry on top of what we've been saying. Ach emes hu ki ion agadol tzarach ha-kol davar me'ela v'dasa sam emes v'ol tzad ha-dimion v'asvara koz eves kosh gein liknos osam la-sigam. And so he says it's true about all these things, not just the yira, but the ava and the dveikus and the chasidus. They all require ion gadol. Ion gadol, right? We have a Gemara, we have an Ion shir, and we have a Musar Ion shir. To fully know them, fully understand them, and comprehend them, it's not enough to just sit back and philosophize and speculate how a person achieves Yiras Shamayim, but to be koned for sure, and to really reach this level, it requires a lot of Ion. And the more you work at it, the more you come to appreciate that it's a misconception. What people usually term as Yiras Shamayim, or the functions, or the practices of Yiras Shamayim, or Hameschasim, as he was talking about yesterday, 2 days ago, people just say Tehillim all day, people roll around in the snow as a mikvah. The more you learn, the more you'll see that all the other impressions and images that people paint for us are actually inaccurate, and in no way do they reflect true amitzus hashlemus. Unbelievable! Said this is the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu before he dies. He has all the Klai Yisrael together, and he wants to leave them with a parting message. And he says, "What does Hashem want from you?" Bottom line, sum it up. What does He want from you? And he says, "Ki em lira es Hashem." Lechas b'durachav, la'avoso, right, et cetera, et cetera. These are the key components to what Moshe Rabbeinu says embodies a full individual. This pasuk sums up all the pieces that are necessary for an Oved Hashem. And he goes one by one over here as he concludes the introduction to show how these are so critical. Ha'yira yira esro moso yizbarach, shiram lefarim kumash, shiram lefnei malach, galav nora, let's look at these one by one. Rabosai, as he concludes the introduction, he's telling us really what this entire sefer is trying to reach. Okay, meaning well, the chapters, the 26 chapters of the sefer have different names for them: Zahirus and Zerizus and Chasidus and Nikias. And I would assume what he's trying to say is that the five mitzvos that Moshe Rabbeinu outlines are the umbrellas that cover all of these 26 levels. Yira. So what is yira? What does it mean to fear God? So I had a Rebbe ninth grade who said it does not mean that God is some Rambo in the sky with a machine gun and he's, you know, if you don't move fast enough, he's going to gun you down. That's not the point. Let's just read this paragraph from Yira. Yiras Rav Musa Yisbarach, to be in awe of the greatness and the exaltedness of God. Similar to what we said yesterday in that word about Noach. You can compare yourself to, if you're 5 feet tall, you can compare yourself to someone who's 4 feet tall, or you can compare yourself to the height of the sun 93 million miles away from the earth. And Kal v'chomer talk about Baruch Hu, right? So the distance between you and Hashem is so vast and unfathomable and incomprehensible. So the feeling that a person can walk away with is just a complete awe before someone who is just so much greater, so much more powerful, so much more unbelievable. And again, it's not fear from someone who is armed and is going to kill me, but someone who, the king, the classic example of a king, so the yevosh means to be shamed. I feel a sense of shame before his greatness with every move that I make, every step that I take. Certainly when I'm actually interacting with him, when I'm speaking before him b'tzvila, dabrul fun b'tzvila, or b'oskub b'sarasa, or I'm learning Torah. And I had an experience once when I was younger. It was Benaz Man, I was about maybe 21, 22 years old, and I was in Eretz Yisrael for Yantar by myself. I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but I was doing some shopping in Geula in Yerushalayim, and I don't know, I had a few minutes before wherever I had to go next. So I stopped into just the local, I just went to the closest Beis Medrash. I don't even know if I really knew where I was going, but I just found the shul on a side street and I walked inside and opened up a Gemara. And turns out it was the Gerer Beis Medrash. This goes back a while, you know, so since then it's been, you know, I think renovated and made much bigger. But at the time it was simple Beis Medrash. I found a quiet place. There wasn't, there weren't that many people. There was Benaz Manim. And I was dressed like a Ben Torah. I was wearing, you know, a white shirt and dark pants. And I just sat down and learned. And someone came over to me after a little while. And he said to me in Hebrew, he said, next time you come, please remember that in this Beis Medrash we learn with a Beged Elyon, with a jacket on. And that just like blew me away. Okay, not just because I come from modern Orthodox world and you're like, come on, like I'm wearing a white shirt. What do you want from me? You know, like that's already in my Drago, you know. But so when you hear something like that, first of all, like, whoa, you know, but then I, you know, over time, I and hopefully with some maturity, I thought about that more and more. And what he was saying, and that was the norm for the people who learn in the Gerer Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim, that in the same way you don't walk into, again, forgive me, I don't want this to be misunderstood, you don't walk into a wedding without a suit, okay? Where I come from, where I grew up, you don't walk into shul on Shabbos without a suit, okay? Maybe Mincha Shabbos afternoon, there's a little more of a dress down, okay? You can go to Eretz Yisrael, and you can go to kibbutz, and everybody's wearing sandals, and a t-shirt, but we're all very familiar, forget about in a business setting, but we're all very familiar with the fact that there's certain places you can't go if you're not dressed a certain way. Why? Because if you don't show up dressing the part, it basically, it's a statement that what you're doing over here doesn't matter enough to you to honor it with a certain mode of appearance and with a certain, if you show up to an interview and everyone's in their suits and you just come and like, you know, you unbutton the second button also, right? Like, what do you mean? Like, this is what I do on Shabbos, you know, like, but come on, like that's, like, do you have enough respect for us to come and do you realize that I am the CEO? I decide if you get the job or you don't get the job, so you should respect. So that's what he was saying. He said, our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah and the endeavor of studying Torah is so great and so awesome that you need to train yourself to appreciate what's going on here, that even if you're not used to it, even if it's not where you come from, but please be respectful of the fact, and he said it very respectfully, it wasn't like condescending in any way, just saying like, this is the way we look at what we're doing, this is how I ultimately heard it and processed it, and therefore, give it the same gravity and focus and respect. And I think there's something very powerful there. It taught me a lesson about Kavanah Torah, that there's room for me to grow, there's room for me, and it, not only in learning, but other things, like how you dress makes a difference. And so he says, when I'm davening, when I'm learning, and even when I'm just walking down the street, the more that you have an awareness of the fact that I'm omed lifnei hamelch, Rabbi said this is the first paragraph of Shulchan Aruch. The first paragraph of Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says that the maila of a tzaddik who walks with God is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I always feel like Hashem is right there in the room. Because he says, let's be honest, you know, for a Rebbe, so Rebbe knows, like, sometimes you walk into the room and, like, you know, there's a bunch of guys talking, there's one with his back to you, and he's saying something, like, all of a sudden everyone gets quiet, you know, like, but he keeps talking because he didn't see the Rebbe walked into the room, right? Okay. Every high school class has had that type of experience at some point, right? Why? Because the guy who's talking would not speak that way if he knew his Rebbe was in the room, right? Okay? There's certain things you wouldn't say in front of your parents, certain things you wouldn't say in front of anyone, again, of a certain stature. So if we can appreciate that, and we all can, then it shouldn't be so distant for us to realize that if I really feel, or to whatever extent that I feel, that I'm standing for Hashem, that will dictate a more careful and more thoughtful manner of speech and behavior in general. And so that is Yir Shamayim. That is Yir Shamayim. Just knowing Hashem is there, Hashem is nearby, and that's going to inform my behavior. Reminds me of that, I definitely told this story before. Rabbi Rapp's kids were once at the park when they were little. And they had an African-American babysitter was watching them. And I don't know what, you know, what they were doing. They were jumping, they were climbing, you know, walking up the slide. Babysitter got angry at them and said, "Don't you know that Hashem is watching?" You know? So if that's what the babysitter tells the kids, you know, like, I think there's something we can learn from that. There's something we can learn from that. Okay? That's Yir Shamayim. Yes, you had a question? Halicha b'drachav. So walking in Hashem's paths. So we know that if you look through the Torah, you don't really have too much about midos. It doesn't say so much about how a person is supposed to act, at, you know, at his personality. A person's not supposed to be a Baal Gaiva. It does seem to say that in the Torah, you know, the in a number of places. It says that the more that a person acts as a Baal Gaiva, he'll forget Hashem. But the classic mitzvos that we're aware of that define a person's midos, such as chesed, right? And emes, there's no, well, emes, there is, midvar sheker tirchak, but you don't have a parsha that goes through mitzvah after mitzvah where we're instructed, act like this, act like that, and nevertheless we have a body of literature in the Sifrei Musar that tell us to, you should have rachmanas, you should have chaninus, and so forth. So where does that all come from? So we derive it from a pasuk of halachta b'drachim, to follow in the paths of Hashem, like we mentioned the other day, tznius is a midah. The reason why we are commanded to be tznuim is because Hashem is described as a tznua by the Nevi'im, and however he's described in Tanakh is there because he's not a human, he doesn't do things or doesn't act the way we do, but it's there to be demonstrative and set, a role model. Hashem is our role model. Pretty cool when you think about it. Hashem is my role model, right? I think I can have a big brother who's a role model. I can have a teacher who's a role model. Hashem is my role model. Kol kol inyan yosher amidos v'sikunam. This includes all matters, all factors of yosher, of being straight. This is how Rav Avner introduced the Sefer. Midos v'tikunam, correcting and improving a person's midos. V'mashabiru zechonam v'racha mahu racham af ato racham. That's what Chazal tell us in Shabbos, Kuflam Gimel. Say it every morning in Oz Yashir. Zeh keli va'anvehu, elokei aviv aramimenu. Zeh keli va'anvehu. What's going on over there? What's happening? What's the pasuk describing? Zeh keli va'anvehu. Just give the context. You know this. Historical background of the pasuk Zeh keli va'anvehu, elokei aviv aramimenu. You know this. Yoni, come on. What's that? So you value should know this. We're standing by the Yamsuf, Givaldik. Okay. We're standing by the Yamsuf. Right? Oz Yashir, Zakel Vanveo, Okay Vivarameno. So Chazal Darshan over here, that the words, Zakeli, this is my God. Zakeli, okay, Chazal Darshan, that Mashara Shivcha Alayam, Lo Ra, Ychasko Ben Buzim Vyamov. That the degree of Nevuah, the degree of revelation that was right in front of everybody's faces at Har Sinai was so powerful and overwhelming. It was a hard level. You could be a shivcha. You could be a maidservant leaving Mitzrayim, and you saw a greater vision, a greater exposure to Hashem than the Nabi Yecheskel did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an unbelievable statement. Zeh Keli Vanehu, because they were able to say, that's God over there, right? Zeh Keli, that's my God. What's the next word? Va'anvehu? Anivahu. Anvehu is a contraction of Anivahu, Va'anvehu. This is my God. I was able to identify him and me and him. Anivahu. Me and him. I can actually I can actually be, I can emulate him. I can copy him. I can take a like we said, he'll be my role model. So what that means is a person, everything he does should be conducted with the sense of Yosher and Musr. The mission of Avos says that's how you choose the path to take. Bring glory to those who perform those acts, who conduct themselves in that way, and also Tiferes Lo Min HaAdam brings glory to him from man. Dahainu. What does that mean? Whatever a person is able to accomplish in the manner of being mechazik Yiddishkeit and being able to create peace and a healthy society, all that is subsumed under this directive of halachta b'drachim. Do one more. Ha'ava, loving Hashem. We're going to be working on loving Hashem through this sefer. Ha'ava shi'a nikba b'leva adam ava elav yisbarach. Has to be kavua, has to be firmly implanted in your heart of man, the love towards God, until you feel like I want to do something that's going to make Hashem happy. Right, little kids, that's what they're taught in school. It's so beautiful, it's so innocent and pure. That's what they're taught. Do a mitzvah, it makes Hashem happy. It's a beautiful thought. Sometimes somehow that gets lost between like kindergarten and like fourth grade. I'm not sure exactly where. But the motivation behind a mitzvah should ultimately be Avas Hashem. I have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have to start all over again after fourth grade and learn what it means to love Hashem in order to feel like I want to do something because I love Hashem. But maybe that's true, because as you get older, you should be able to have a better appreciation of what it means to love Hashem. I love a person, translate that into Avas Hashem. In the same way, K'moshe Libo Mis'orer Lasas Nachas Ruach Lo'av Limo, hopefully a person wants and is self-motivated to take the initiative to do something that will bring nachas to their parents, and it will bother them if something falls short of nachas ruach to my parents. And you will be zealous on that for that cause, and you'll be mesameach simcha gdola when you do one of those things.